Book of John, we're going to be at this evening, John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16, and we'll start in verse number 7. John chapter number 16 and verse number 7. Thank you, Brother Joe, for that special. That was a blessing. I got double blessed by that. He got up here and he lowered the mic for me, so I'd appreciate that. Hey, did you get your nap today? How many got your nap today? Raise your hand. You got your nap today? How many of you did not get your nap today? How many of you plan on taking it now? Some of you voted three times. I don't know exactly why that was. Hey, I hope that you'll come back tomorrow night. And tomorrow night is the most important service of the week. So make sure that you come back tomorrow night. You thought it was tonight, but no. Tomorrow night is the most important service of the week because it's the next one, okay? And so I'll just keep saying that, but I hope that you'll come out tomorrow night. Good crowd for Sunday night. We're so thankful that you're here. How many of you know somebody that is not here tonight? Raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand. You're not participating in anything. Or everybody I know sitting right here in this room. Maybe you need to get out a little bit more. But I hope that as you go throughout your day, invite people to revival services. And maybe you went through the day and you think, hey, where's so-and-so at? What happened to them? They weren't there all day Sunday. Well, give them a ring or text them or Facebook message them or poke them or whatever it does there on social media. And do that and invite people to come. But here's the deal. If you're inviting people to come, you have to be coming yourself. So it doesn't work very well when you say, hey, you really need to come out Monday night, special services for our church, going to be a good time, and hopefully he preaches short, but hey, I hope that you'll come, and it'll be a blessing. Be good. Hope you can make it. And they'll say something like this, are you coming? And my favorite show's on. And so if you say something like this and you don't come, guess what? They're not going to come either, okay? So I hope that you made the commitment to come. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to come. And my family's going to come, so I got at least four people to preach to. I'm thinking pastor's going to come. Good, five. And so hopefully the rest of y'all come. And hopefully Brother Brandon comes because you don't want to hear us singing, you know, that all that. So anyway, I hope that you'll be able to come. And we're looking forward to tonight as well. John 16, take a look at verse number 7. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, talking about the Comforter, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all things. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. Look to John chapter 20. Would you take a couple of pages over there? John chapter number 20. And look at verse 19. John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. And this is, of course, after the Lord Jesus has raised from the dead. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto him, unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The first verse that I read there in John chapter 16 and verse number 7, towards the end, the Bible says, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. The title of the message this evening is The Comforter Has Come. The Comforter Has Come. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, what a great day it's already been in your house. And Lord, I thank you for all the special music and thank you for all the things I was prepared for this day. Lord, I pray once again, as we hone in and talking about the blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, that we'll leave here changed. We'll leave here drawing closer to you and paying attention to the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside us. Lord, I pray that you be with me and you fill me with the Spirit's power. I need your help tonight. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. If you have children, or maybe you're one of these kinds of kids, they need to have a sense of security, a sense of comfort. Lily, our youngest, she always had to have a certain blanket with her. It was a security blanket. That blanket got to be gross, okay? She had to have it all the time, and it had holes in it and stains and different things like that. And every night, we had to fold it a certain way and put it on her pillow. And there's times when April would try to, you know, wash it or something like that and grab another blanket that Lily would just always could tell that's not the blanket. We'd even buy the blanket with the same design. That's not the blanket. So we get that nasty thing, you know, out, and we would fold it a certain way and put it on her pillow. And she loved that blanket. That was her sense of security. No matter where we were in America, as long as she had that blanket, she was going to do just fine. Then Braden, our youngest son, he had to have the pacifier. And he always had to have that pacifier with him. You know, he was the guy that had the pacifier, that he was sucking so hard on the pacifier, he had lines on his cheeks, you know. And he loved that pacifier. And then it came to a point where April and I was like, okay, the pacifier needs to go away. And that's a really hard time as a parent, if you remember that. And we remember it was last year we got with Brady. And we told him about that. And no, he was just a little guy. And so we prepared the day when we were going to take the pacifier away, okay? And we made sure we drank plenty of caffeinated beverages and things like that. This is going to be a long, terrible night. Well, he pretty much went right to sleep. He had a couple of whimpers, something like that. We're like, oh no, here it comes. And it was totally fine, and he was able to sleep without the passy, and there was great rejoicing in the Downs household. Well, to our dismay, we lost one of those passies earlier, and that sort of inspired us to get him off of it. He found the pacifier. It was in his toy box, and it was a week later, and he was about a year and a half or two, and he just starts walking in the kitchen. And we're like, what do you have? And he's just. And it felt like we were negotiating with the terrorist at that point. Because we needed the passy needed to go away. And we just, you know, and we're like, Brady, you want the candy bar? You want the candy bar? Hey, give me the passy. Give me the passy. You know, that kind of thing. And he just went. And he gave us back the pacifier, and there was great rejoicing again that happened in the Downs household. I've been able to travel a good bit, you know, and I don't do a lot of traveling overseas. And I had the opportunity about 4 or 5 years ago to go over to the Philippines. If I don't have to plan for stuff, I have to plan for stuff so often. If I don't have to, I really get excited about not having to plan. So we're on the airplane going over to the Philippines, and I remember the guys that were with me, and they said, okay, we need to be prepared here. This is a third world country. And I said, quit making up stories to make me feel nervous. And they said, no, Matt, is a third world country. Oh. And my eyes were a little opened up more so when we landed in the Philippines. Well, everything tasted different in the Philippines than America, okay? We get the menu, we get it out, and everything ended in log. Turkey log, ham log, 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 log. And I'm like, I don't eat logs. So I was really struggling in finding a sense of security. There was a Dunkin' Donuts over there. We rejoiced over that. But still, it tasted different. And I was just out of sorts. I wasn't used to dealing with a 12-hour time difference. And I was sort of struggling with some sense of security in my life. And I remember we were leaving Manila, going to a different church. And as we were leaving, there was a volcano up ahead. And the volcano was smoking. Nobody else cared about the smoking volcano. I cared. And I was nervous anyway because I just was out of sorts and things. And I said, hey, your volcano. That's a volcano, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's a volcano. Why is it smoking? Oh, Brother Matt, it just does that. That volcano hasn't erupted in 250 years or something like that. Now, there's two ways to look at that. There is the, oh, well, it hasn't gone off in over a couple hundred years, so it's not going to go off while I'm here. Or how I was thinking at the time, it hasn't gone off in 250 years, it's going to blow, baby. Well, as we were driving, there was a gas station, and we went over to this gas station, and there was a Starbucks there. And I went, and I said, okay, please, tastes like Starbucks. And I got a cup of coffee there, and I drank it, and I didn't have anything in it. It was just black coffee. And I took a drink, and it tasted like Starbucks coffee. You ever drank dirt? It tasted just like it. And I took that drink, and I'm like, oh, I've had this before. Yes. And so I took another big swig, and I started getting hooked on that coffee because it tasted like home. I went from the Philippines, so right when I got done with the Philippines, I had a revival in Kentucky. After I got done with a week-long revival in Kentucky, I flew to Alaska. I need to fire my travel agent. And all that helped during those trips, dealing with different time changes and things like that, was I would go and I'd get that Starbucks coffee, and there I got security. I got my comfort, right? Because I was just sort of feeling out of sorts. Tonight we're going to talk to you about something that's a whole lot better than coffee. It's a whole lot better than a blanket or a pacifier could ever give you. And that's the blessed Holy Spirit, the great comforter. And I'm encouraged to be able to tell you tonight that the Comforter has come. Number one, we can find that the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Aren't you thankful for that? The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read to you Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and take a look at verse 16. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we find here that the Holy Spirit lives in every single one of us as believers. And he's indwelled us. And our body is the temple. So our temple is important. It's important. We should take care of our temple. We need to make sure we're not doing things that we know that is harmful to our temple. We need to be really careful about all that. You know, we should be different because we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside us. You know, we hear oftentimes, Hey, it doesn't matter what the outward appearance is, because man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And aren't you thankful that God does see the heart? I am very thankful for that. But the deal is, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it's talking about our body, and it is important that we should take care of it. And you know, we should look like a Christian. People should be able to tell there's something different about us. That's totally okay. And they should be able to tell by your attitude. They should be able to tell by your actions. They should be able to tell by the way you dress. Hey, there's something different about you. What is the difference? Because if they do not see what the difference is, or that there is a difference, how can you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're looking just like the world, you're acting just like the world, you can talk the same way, you talk about the same subjects, you listen to the same music, there's no difference between you and the world, then your testimony is not going to shine for Jesus Christ. But if we set ourselves apart and we truly act how we're supposed to, that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, people are going to see a difference in our life. So we find here that the Holy Spirit is in every believer, and our temple is important. Secondly, we find under that, the Holy Spirit brings power and joy to the believer. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Would you turn there? Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, and of course, this is starting in verse number 37. Of course, this is where Peter was preaching at Pentecost, and great things were happening there. Acts chapter number 2, look at verse number 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many of the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wouldn't it have been awesome to be there that day? You hear the preaching of the word of God and see people gladly receive the word of God and 3,000 people trust in Christ. That would be awesome. Now, I don't like to be pessimistic by nature. I'm normally optimistic by nature, but I don't think that's what's going to happen here tonight. There are some things that's hindrances to that. One, we don't have 3,000 people here that need to be saved, right? But can you imagine being there that day and hearing Peter proclaim the word of God, and people gladly receive the word of God and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved? Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wow! Those are great verses. That you'd be able to see 3,000 people trust in Christ. And the Holy Spirit gave great power to the apostles. He was convicting hearts, and people were gladly receiving it. But did you notice also that was there? There was praising of God that was there. There was gladness that was there. Let me ask you, Christian, have you seen the power of God upon your life? Have you seen God use you lately to see people saved? Or used you to do something that was an encouragement to someone? you can point back to that. You can say, you know what? Wow, the Lord really guided me to talk to that person right there. And I did. And boy, it was really good that I said to that person at church today, how are you doing? And they said, do you have a minute? And they're just going through a lot of hardship. You're like, whoa, that wasn't a lucky guess, folks. That was you listening to the Holy Spirit of God. But also that was there was gladness. You know, we can turn into robot Christians pretty quick. All right, well, it's church time. Go to church, put on the tie, put on the dress, look nice, sing, smile, go on our way. And hopefully the service is just short enough so we can beat the Methodist over to the restaurant and, you know, different things like this. And that's really what it's all about. My friend, that's not what it's all about. Do you have genuine joy? Are you happy to be in church? There should be some type of happiness, okay? It's okay.
Hell, he's just saying that because he's a young preacher.
No, you should be able to come to church and you should be able to do this. And it should be real. I'm happy, praise God. Get off my back about it, good night. But we go to church so preoccupied. We're thinking about so many other things that need to happen and what's gone wrong and all these different things. Why don't you show up and say, God, I want to worship you. God, I want to see your power in the services. I want to see people saved in the services. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to somebody today. You know what's awesome about when you're being an encouragement? In Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible says, you reap what you... Okay, so if you are not getting encouragement at church, whose fault is it? It's yours. We come in and we just say, all right, somebody bless me. He didn't say hi to me. Pastor gave me eye contact and walked away. Hasn't shook my hand in 3 weeks. We're so quick with all this stuff, but if you show up at church and say, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a blessing today. I sit over here. I'm going to go over there. It's scary over there. I noticed that Brother Scott sits over there, so I understand why you all sit over here. But anyway, it's totally fine to walk over there. And maybe there's somebody over there that you do not know. And just say, how's it going? What's your name? How long have you been going to church here?
25 years. Oh! Ever walk over there much? No! There's a trustee that sits over there.
And you just go and you just say, I'm going to be an encouragement and a help. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside you, and you've got the fruits of the Spirit in your life, and he's just going to start guiding you to be a help to people. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside you. Start using him. Number one, we see that the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Number two, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. If you turn back to the book of John, in John chapter number 15, in verse number 26, John chapter 15 and verse number 26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So we know what the Holy Spirit does. He testifies of Jesus Christ. He reproves sinners that are not saved. We go back to our text in John chapter 16, in verse number 8. It says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, don't get hung up on the ofs. That simply means concerning, right? So concerning sin, concerning righteousness, concerning judgment, that's what the Holy Spirit is convincing people they need a Savior. We go to different spots all across the nation, and sometimes you think to yourself, how in the world am I going to relate to these people? When I was in the Philippines, one thing that was really nice, I was considered average height. So that was encouraging. But I was trying to think of, what do I know? I didn't do very good research. I don't know a lot of things about the Philippines. A lot of them like basketball. We could talk about basketball, I guess, and different things. And I sort of started having this, just an overwhelming thought of, how am I going to relate to these people? I don't know. And it was just like that time I had alone with God. And God said, just give the scripture. And that's what I did. I just gave the scripture. And as I was giving the scripture, the Holy Spirit of God was testifying to them, the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning sin and concerning judgment and concerning righteousness as well. We were over in Alaska later on that trip, and as I was there, it was spring break and it was whiteout conditions, snow all over the place. And I was thinking, how in the world do I relate to Alaskans? You know, we went over to some people's house, and as I was over there, I was like, you have the sturdiest glass door I have ever seen in my life. They said, yeah, because here at Kodiak Island, bears attack us, and bears can break through this glass door, and so we have to make sure it's bear-proof. And I was thinking, where am I? And, you know, I'm walking up to McDonald's checking my back, you know, just to make sure no Kodiak bear is getting ready to attack me. And I was just doing the best I could to be able to relate and different things. And I remember preaching, and as I was preaching, there was a teenager in the back, and he had a mohawk, and it was a legit mohawk. You're talking about the Buzz. I sort of have a backwards mohawk. But anyway, this was Buzz, and this was really tall. And I got to the end of the message. And I said, how many of you are saved? How many of you are not? And he didn't raise his hand one way or the other. And so everybody was sort of leaving the auditorium. And I said, hey, how's it going? What's your name? He said, Crevin. Nice to meet you, Crevin. Never met a Crevin before. Never met a Crevin with a mohawk before. So I was just talking to him. I said, Crevin, I noticed you didn't raise your hand one way or the other. Do you know if you're going to heaven or not? He said, nope. I said, can I show you? He said, yep. I said, okay. And I showed him from the Bible how to be saved. There's a lot of things that Crevin and I, we did not have in common, okay? And relatability, you could throw that one out the window. But I had the Holy Spirit of God helping me that day. And as long as I was giving out the scripture, he was testifying of Jesus Christ to that young man. And that young man was gloriously saved. You know, do you give out the gospel? Let me just ask you that. Do you give out the gospel? I think everybody needs to give out the gospel. Now, everybody has a different personality, and everybody does things differently, okay? But every single one of us should be able to give out the gospel. We passed out tracts tonight. Who can give out 7 tracts? Did you know we really all could do that? You really can. Everybody has a different way on how they do it, but the important thing is that you use the scripture and you give out the gospel. You know, some people have great testimonies, and you're like, goodness, I wish I had a good testimony. All I got is what I told you this morning, psycho cats that scared me. You know, what is, that's not, but that's not important. And the Holy Spirit can use a story like that, but But what the Bible says that the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. So that's important that we're supposed to be doing that. So there was one guy that was really good at magic tricks. And I thought, boy, that would be neat. And I was at this restaurant. The pastor said, yeah, I got this little magic trick. And I got a blue card and I got a pink card. And the waiter was like, oh, okay, that looks neat. And he said, yeah, the blue card's bigger than the pink card. Watch this. The pink card's now bigger than the blue card. And the waiter was like, that's incredible. How did you do that? And he said, oh, well, it's just an easy little trick. I'll give it to you. Make sure that you read it, though, because it tells you how you can know for certain you're going to heaven. Now, that was pretty cool. And I thought, you know what? That's what I need. I need to learn some magic tricks. So he gave me some blue and pink cards. And I grabbed these blue and pink cards. And I said, look at this. The blue card's bigger than the pink card. And the blue card is still bigger than the pink card. Read it, you can go to heaven. Good night. I just wasn't good at it. I remember, this was several years ago, it was almost 20 years ago, and I heard a devotional from a guy that worked construction. And he said, you know what I do every day? Every day I get in my Ford truck, and I take my sun visor, and I put it down. You know why? We're like, well, the sun's in your eyes? No! Sorry, lucky guess, I guess. I don't know. He said, because I hate having the sun visor down. Good devotional thought. Thank you, sir. He said, I do that because I can't put the sun visor up until I give out a gospel tract that day. That's what he did. New York City, we pass out gospel tracts, right? As I'm passing out gospel tracts, I have a problem. I can't be quiet. Okay? I keep talking all the time. And especially when I'm trying to pass time, I keep talking. And as they're walking by, I go a while without talking to someone. It bothers me. I'm like, why are they coming by? I want more people to come by. Lord, help more people to come by. And I'm certain they're praying. And so then I just start saying stuff. Giant stink! Get sort of a reaction pretty quick. Now, you got to know your personality. You got to know how to get out of stuff pretty fast after you say something like that. But I just say something. Hey, I don't like the Giants. What do you say? Hey, can I talk to you about something? Oh, you got me over here, didn't you? Yeah. Can I pray with you about something? Yeah, you can pray with the Giants. All right, let's pray with the Giants. I make sure it's not a good prayer, but you know. But some of y'all, you couldn't do that. You would say that in New York. You would die there, you know, just the way your personality is. Giant stink, whoa, you know, and you get in a fight and all those things. Learn your way, okay? Learn your way, get some confidence with the scripture, and give it out. And you'll see something awesome happening. The Holy Spirit of God using you. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. Number two, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. So use scripture. Number three, the Holy Spirit will guide you to truth. Look at John 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you've learned. Look at verse number 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. We'll look at another passage in just a moment on how the Holy Spirit does remind you. Have you ever been in a situation? Lots of times this can happen in family reunions. And everything gets brought up sometimes in family reunions. And they'll say something like this. Okay, mighty Christian, give me a chapter and verse. And you're like, uh-oh. Chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. And all of a sudden, the chapter and verse shows up. That's not luck. That's you listening to the Holy Spirit of God. He will remind you of things that you know. He will teach you what the Bible is saying in verse number 13. It says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I meet people all the time that say, you know what about your book that you believe in? I don't get anything out of it. And you know why that is? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them. But if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, he will teach you things from the Bible. He will glorify Christ in verse number 14. It says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. He will glorify Jesus Christ. He is not going to contradict Jesus Christ. He's not going to contradict the Bible. I was going to college down in Pensacola, and as I was down there, they had a Brownsville revival at a different place. It was far away from the Bible college there. And the school would teach us about it, and they were very charismatic and things, and they would show different videos. And there was a dear lady that was on there, and she said, you know, the reason why I bark like a dog in services is because the Holy Spirit told me to. And I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't want to bark like a dog. But he said, if you won't bark like a dog, then you will not live for Jesus Christ. So this dear lady was barking like a dog in services. Isn't that sad? The Bible doesn't talk about any of those things. So the Holy Spirit is not going to be telling you to do any of those things. So know your Bible, okay? Don't get involved in that kind of nonsense. And lastly, and our time will be done, the Holy Spirit gives us peace. Look at John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. John chapter 14 and verse number 26. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, you watch the news, it's very easy to get troubled, is it not? You hear things that are happening all around us, and isn't it sometimes easy to become scared? But I'm so thankful that we have the blessed Holy Spirit that lives inside us, that comforts us, that wants to be a help to us, that wants to give us joy as we live this Christian life, and he wants to give us power so that we're going to be used of God. Can you point back to your life and say that the Holy Spirit has been using you? Can you point back and say, I have that gladness? Or I have that joy. I have been encouraging. I have been a help to people. I have been telling other people about the Lord Jesus. If you find yourself lacking here tonight, my prayer is that you leave here making the commitment to paying attention again to the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, God has spoken to my heart tonight? Because the fact of the matter is, I have not been paying attention to the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the areas is that I haven't seen him use me to encourage, use me to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And God's spoken to my heart about that today. I want the Holy Spirit of God to be using me again. That's you. Would you raise your hand? God spoke in my heart about that. Amen. Many hands. I'll pray for you about that. That's wonderful. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, God spoke into my heart because I'm lacking in my joy. I'm lacking in my gladness. I'm lacking in my praise to God. And God spoke into my heart. I need to get that back again. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. God bless you all. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, Brother Matt, I'm so thankful that I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and I know that the Holy Spirit of God does live inside me, and I know that I'm going to heaven. If you could say that, would you raise your hand? Great. I would say a lot of us here, many of us, put your hands down. Is there anybody that would say, Brother Matt, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. I don't know. All right, everyone, would you look up this way? I'm going to pray for you like I promised. And God spoke in your heart that you want to be used of God. You want to be used by the Holy Spirit. You found yourself lacking in areas tonight. Why don't you just come down here to the front and get down on your knees and tell the Lord all about it? Now look, you can make a decision no matter where you're at and where you stand. But there's something special when God speaks to our heart in a service that we show him immediately we mean business about it. And it will be an encouragement to you, but also it will be an encouragement to those around you as well. If you have any questions about anything, Pastor is going to be standing here at the front. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I want to pray for the ones that said they haven't been paying attention to the Holy Spirit in their life, whether it be encouraging people, whether telling other people about Jesus. Maybe there's ones here that's struggling with having that peace that you can give through the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that they'll come to the front, they'll make a decision. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. At the pianist play, you raise your hand. Won't you come? Right now, won't you come? I need that joy back again. I need that gladness again. I've been going after the world for peace, and I don't have it. As the piano plays, won't you come?